And I can't say enough about that, going above and beyond. When her character defects do one push up, she does 10. If you don't know her, you should. Without further ado, let's welcome our speaker, McCall.
You'll probably have to yell at me and remind me that. Thank you, David. Fine with me. Jack's worried you won't hear me. I said I grew up with an alcoholic mother and I'm very dramatic. I make sure everyone hears me and sees my crosstalk face. So my name is McCall. And I live in Koreatown, Los Angeles, California. And Pat, I am so honored to know that I have helped you in this program. Oh, wait, that's a different program. That's Apple Notes that I helped you in. But it helps you make your life more manageable. They told me to pass it on. There's also a bunch of people on Zoom I've helped with Zoom. I'm a helpful mother. I also have a potty mouth. God's changing me, though. And it's weird even saying that word because I am a grateful Al-Anon. I thought lightning might strike or like younger me might come and deck me. I grew up in Alateen. No, I spent a lot of years in Alateen, learning the tools of the program that I proceeded to use as weapons against other people. And then I would come to realize I'm the common denominator and I'd use them against me. I mean, I have used physical weapons against myself, like razors or any person I can find. But the tools of Alateen were sharp indeed. And as I said, I grew up with an alcoholic mother. It was just the two of us. We used to sing songs together, and she was my best friend and my cohort, my teammate, half the time. And the other half of the time, she had like cotton batting around her that she says softened the sharp edges of the world. From the moment I heard her say that through this morning, when I was the Al-Anon chair at an AA workshop with Al-Anon participation, and I heard an AA lead talk about the first time they drank, I have had AA envy. Because I'm an alcoholic type two. I have all the symptoms, but I do not get relief from the medicine enough for it to become a problem. The problem is that I don't even like the taste of it. And so I have searched and searched for anything to find that Calgon take me away relief. I was born 1973 in upstate New York. Ithaca is gorgeous. And my mom was not married to my biological father. They were at Cornell University. My mom was in creative writing and poetry, and my father in theater and creative writing. I would love to blame my sense of drama on them, but I work a program and I really can't. If I spot it, I truly got it. The cool thing is that goes for the good stuff too. And just even right now, as I look around this room and when I was looking, oh, don't look up there, McCall. Look over there. There are people on Zoom. There are so many people who love me that I love. And I spent decades of my life. I was 8 years old the first time I walked into an Alateen meeting or was brought. because I grew up in an all-Black neighborhood and went to a Hebrew school, and my name is McCall, I was pretty sure I'm terminally unique. And I could probably convince most of you of it, too. My mother, I used to spend a lot of time talking about what alcohol took from me. And I can't look around this room without seeing how much it's given to me. But it took me a while to hear God, or as I call it, Waldo, because it gets me to look for it. And I don't think faith is a noun. I think it's an action. And I think it's the same actual feeling, emotion, action as fear. It's allowing yourself to live in a truth that you're not entirely sure of. As soon as you are, it stops being fear or faith. It becomes natural self-defense or knowledge. My mother raised me to value words and knowledge, information, understanding, empathy. There's a quote in an old Al-Anon conference approved book, which I am not. And I do try to practice these principles in all my affairs, so I'll probably drop all kinds of pop culture references and stuff, because I really care about this program and it's pervasive in my life. But to start, this is conference approved. This is from Al-Anon Faces Alcoholism. And dig this. This was from a speech by Abraham Lincoln almost 200 years ago. In my judgment, such of us who have never fallen victim to alcoholism have been spared more by the absence of appetite than from any mental or moral superiority over those who have. Indeed, I believe if we take the habitual drunkard as a class, their heads and their hearts will bear an advantageous comparison with those of any other class. There seems ever to have been a proneness in the brilliant and warm-blooded to fall into the vice, the demon of intemperance ever seems to have delighted in sucking the blood of genius and generosity. The victim should be pitied and compassionated, just as are the heirs of consumption and other hereditary diseases. Their failing should be treated as a misfortune, not a crime, or even a disgrace. February 22nd, 1842. It's taken us a long time to come to that too. When I came home from third, fourth grade, and my mom was not at home, it was not unusual. But when I got up the next morning and she wasn't there, it was. And this little girl felt the need to fill the space that I thought a man would, a father figure, a husband would. And so I didn't allow myself to feel fear. I got tough and angry and machismo. And so when I went to school then that day, I didn't want to tell anybody because I still thought I'd be a little shaky and I didn't want them to make assumptions and I didn't know what happened. I think I thought she was probably dead. But I had not been to Alateen. I did not know what alcoholism was. I just thought that was my mom. She's brilliantly creative. All night long, either sobbing, weeping, laughing, joyous, loud and intimate with somebody behind closed doors, screaming and yelling, just lots of emotions and passions. The woman read me the bell jar in fourth grade as I was falling asleep. She also played the BBC's Chronicles of Narnia every night for a couple of years, and Homer's Odyssey. She taught me about Sylvia Plath. It seems like the poets she really liked all killed themselves in really dramatic ways. So I'm just realizing as I'm saying names and thinking these, like walking into the ocean with rocks in their pockets or putting their heads in ovens. Like these are stories I knew at second and third grade. And I got a capable head that gets real freaking dangerous. So when I told somebody at school the next day, adults get involved. Thankfully, my grandfather, my mother's father, was an OBGYN, just like Lois Burnham's dad. And he had delivered half of Cleveland. They knew us. They took me to Alateen that night. And a woman drove me, picked me up from school while my mom was in rehab for that whole month. And every day, my grandparents would drive downtown, pick me up, and then drive back to their fancy neighborhood where there was a yacht club, two country clubs, and a bunch of white people that I didn't feel comfortable around. This disease needs isolation. And I was isolated at a real early age. And I felt like I was behind this one-way mirror, and I could see so much hyper-vigilant. Like I can sense things. Today, I know I needed to. I needed to be on guard as I work through my fourth steps. Every time I find a new piece of armor and I want to get mad at myself about it. But if I really look, there are dents and scrapes and scratches all over that. And I can clean it up and I can say, thank you for protecting me for so long. And as my ego decides it's going to give it to God, it disappears and dissolves. The Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous talks about a position of neutrality. That's where it's at for me. Neutral. Because everything was so big and black and white and back and forth, right and wrong. So my mom got sober and she did AA, and I loved AA meetings. I would sit in the back and do my homework. People would high five me. I would hear stories like they were on Cinemax or something, like sex, drugs, rock and roll. Nobody ever pinched my cheek and called me sweetheart and washed their. I didn't have respect for us because I figured you were all here because you were married to an alcoholic by choice. Or worse, you were still complaining about your dead parents 30 years later. Hell no, I'm not going to be that girl. I'll find my way into AA or some other program. The only ones I qualified for was CODA, Codependents Anonymous, but I could never find someone to go to a meeting with me, so I never went. And ACA, which I did go to diligently, read that book, worked those steps. And it dredged up a lot of dirt that I didn't really realize was there. And it sat there. And I already knew about this position of neutrality. And it felt like the Holy Grail. And I needed someone to flush that dirt, frankly. When I first came to Alateen, I tripped so hard over step two that I broke my nose on step three. Coming to believe in God, of my understanding, if I can understand something, it is not that complex. I think of myself as hyper-intelligence, but really, restore me to sanity. Was I sane ever? So I went on a pursuit for understanding of God. And it was like, I must have made a list of all the gods that other people believed in so that I could find the one that suits me. It's like trying on bathing suits, right? And I threw out a lot of babies with bathwater because humans would disappoint me and I would judge God. I even studied Swedenborganism because Lois Wilson was a Swedenborganist. I sought information and understanding like it was my alcohol and drug. And it took a long time to realize the only time I really want to understand something is because I want to fix it. I need to understand how the computer works. I need to understand how the vacuum cleaner works and the gears, and so I can figure out what's wrong. And I'm capable. So I say the road to hell for me was not paved with good intentions. It was paved with the question, why? And it's what I respected most in other people. Because we are a scientific family. I told you my grandfather was a doctor. We talked about like scientific things. If we went to church, it was like a, you know, Christmas and there's bells and incense. And it's, we know it's just kind of the show. It's like going to see a movie on Christmas Eve, right? And I kind of suspected Jesus had a middle name and it was started with H. Because the only time I ever heard it was if somebody stubbed their toe. Now I knew enough about Hebrew and Judaism. One problem, your mom has to be Jewish for you to be of the tribe. My mom's not. She's as WASP as it comes. The second time my mom went into rehab, I was in going into eighth grade. So I had 3 good years. Like where I got to go to a hotel downtown Cleveland and hear this old black man, an old white man talk about this big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and everyone was paying a lot of attention. Like it was reverent. It was Joe and Charlie Jack. And I respected alcoholics, sober alcoholics working a program. And I think when they were reading that book, it felt to me like a church I could be at, or a temple, or a synagogue. There was reverence. It was sacred. And they were squeezing the spirit like it was juice out of grapes, but they were words. And I can do words. I'm an Alan on and on and on and on. You want me to talk about me? Give me 4 hours, fine. At a drop of a hat. But when I found out that my mom was going to go away for 3 months up to Minnesota or something fancy, it was decided that I would go to boarding school, a Catholic boarding school, because that's what was in Cleveland, Ohio. And it didn't work at all for me. I had big issues with an 18-foot naked man in a diaper with holes in his body dripping blood while I was eating lunch. It freaked me out. Also, I had abandonment issues, and I knew enough about the Gospels that he abandons his followers who need him. I was out. Swedenborganism was kind of cool, though. The very next year for ninth grade, I went to another boarding school in Maine, a Quaker's friend school. I did not choose these things. I think maybe they chose me. But I can attest to the fact that information is not transformation. An understanding of God feels futile, even today. From there, oh, there's a long story about how I came, I went to summer theater school, So I didn't have to spend as much time at home with my mom, you know, less likely for problems. And I came home from summer theater school and there was a letter from my school in Maine that it had been sold to a police academy. It's still a police academy. And so we went on a search for another school and I got to go to a school in Boston that was like the junior school of Harvard. So I could take classes at Harvard and pretend I was a college kid. And at 14, I got my license and tattoos because how else do you get through to an alcoholic mom with cotton batting between her and you? She did notice the tattoos and she was very upset that I had wrecked my body. And it felt good because I had learned transactional love. Don't get mad. Get even. Tally marks. I remember my mom was dating a man who was living with her and they had a yellow legal steno pad with this line down the middle and said Duff on one side and Sue's on the other. And they would write down everything they purchased. Like pizza or rented a Blockbuster movie. If you're young, stay after and I'll explain. And then they would every now and then tally it up and see, you know, who had been spending more money. And then the other person would just to kind of keep it even. And I thought it was brilliant. Clear communication. I took it deeply as serious. And I didn't think I was wanted. So I put myself in situations where I might be needed or need somebody else and then justify that I'm not worthy of love because they wouldn't rescue me. Or maybe worse, they would sometimes. And I've noticed that when people co-sign my BS, it's like mortar between bricks. It gets real solid. It becomes real solid ground. These have to, musts, shoulds, need to, got to, oughta. So I was dangerous. I had a car, a license, and my wealthy grandparents' gas card. So you can buy all the punks on Harvard Square with Mohawk cigarettes. Needed. And I hung out with people that were, quote, beneath me to help them, obviously. And also so I would not feel like a piece of turd the whole world should be revolving around. And I felt it was like, I was obviously, my name is McCall. I've already told you how I grew up. I was so smart. I felt I was destined for something good, inevitable. And so when it didn't seem to come, it was like my idea of who I was and what the world was telling me I was were two very different things. And I didn't have, I've said this since I was a kid, I didn't have a magnetic north. When you scuba dive, you look for bubbles to know which way is up. Is that a time that I should be shutting up? No, okay. Hypervigilance. I would look for bubbles in other people and I would try to tune my instrument to them. And I had been exposed to the traditions and the concepts enough to make me dangerous, like you guys out there on Zoom who really don't know tech and mess with it anyway, because you know just enough. That's me. And I know a little bit about a lot of stuff, so I can get in a lot of trouble. I consider myself a blackout thinker. I have been in more car accidents than any alcoholic I've ever met. I like winning. My mom's been in more rehabs and hospitals, I bet, than any alcoholic you've ever met. We're in three digits. In fact, here's a little neat detail. As I was looking up the data to knowledge chart, I told you I love information, I like knowledge, I like understanding and data. I was looking for this graph to refresh my memory of how data becomes wisdom. And I came across the Gates Mills Fire Department, February 20th, 2020. As you know, the village of Gates Mills provides EMS through a pay-for-service contract with Mayfield Village. Each call for service from Mayfield Village EMS is billed to the village of Gates Mills in the amount of $1,340. The village of Gates Mills may receive some reimbursement, blah, blah, blah. Here's the EMS totals per year for your address. 2016, three calls for assistance with three billable incidents total $4,020. 2017, nine calls, total $12,000. 2018, 18 calls, 16 billable incidents, $21,440. 2019, 24 calls, $22,780. 2016 through 2019, total cost $60,000. $60,300, technically. And if that doesn't illustrate that this is a progressive illness, keep coming back. But it wasn't just her illness that progressed, it was mine. And when I aged out of Alateen, I didn't have guardrails. And I legitimately wanted to be a drunk when I grew up, or a junkie, or something a little more exciting than an Al-Anon. I grew up with I call her Mama Merp. There's a celebrity of Al-Anon who says, Al-Anon is just a bunch of blue-haired, cookie-baking, thin-lipped bitches. She was also the only other human being I ever heard talk crap about Blueprint for Progress. And I fell in love with her when I was really young. And instead of listening to my mom cry at night or yell or get laid, I'd put on this Sony Walkman headset that my sponsor and my Alateen district gave me, bright yellow, 1980s. And I would listen to Mary Pearl's voice. She was as alcoholic as they come who didn't drink. I could get with that program. I couldn't find that in the rooms of Al-Anon because I had what the big book says was contempt prior to investigation. Another way it's been said, I think it was Don Juan, Carlos Castaneda, or somebody who says there are four enemies to knowledge, or to a man of knowledge, a person of knowledge. And one of them is clarity. If I know something, I got nothing to learn. So we're going to fast forward to about the dates that I was just telling you. Those are phone calls in Cleveland, Ohio, because my mother's husband left after she fell off the wagon. This is worth telling you. My wedding in 2004. My mother was very drunk at our wedding. So we went back to Cleveland to have a reception. Wait for it. On New Year's Eve. Really? At one point, the caterer came up to me and said, "Ma'am, do you want us to get more champagne?" I was like, "What are you talking? I got like 14 bottles. There's not that many people." And he goes, "Well, your mom's taken 9 of them." Well, I'm not a dummy. And this is a progressive routine. I've been trained. What does an adult child of an alcoholic do if her entire family has flown to Cleveland, Ohio for her wedding reception? stage an intervention, obviously. Welcome to the family, Kyle. I really did. We had an intervention once my friends left her house. It was already planned before she took the bottles. I can see it coming. And my stepfather, her husband, read her like a Dear John letter and said, this is it. I can't afford any more Betty Fords. Like, the woman's been to 17 different like nice places. They wouldn't take her anywhere in Cleveland, Ohio anymore because she's her rate is so bad. They wanted to keep the beds for people who were serious. But my mom is, damn it, she's serious. She has 111 coins in her drawers. She has worked these steps. But I think she might be what the book calls one of the unfortunates. And I'm a chip off the old block. So I assumed I was too. Can't believe in God. I checked off all of them. Like, I have read world religions. I've checked them off. None of them were real. So what am I supposed to do? I'm an adult child of an alcoholic living in Los Angeles, where when I went to an AA meeting for comfort here, some like lawyer in like, he looked like he had a tux on. He never swore once. He was clean cut. And then the next one and the next one. I didn't know Clancy. I didn't know Pacific Group. I was from Cleveland. It was dirty and gritty. And I liked listening to their leads. They were exciting. Not ours. G-O-D, gift of desperation. I audited our meetings for a long time. Like, there are people in this program that I knew 10 years, 15 years before they knew me. And I'm a big mouth, loud mouth, tattooed person. I need to be seen. So you can imagine how hard that was. But I had already worked the steps, so I wouldn't come at the very beginning of a meeting. Who does that? Lamos. And I would leave before you drank your Kool-Aid and chanted and shook hands like it's kumbaya. Weirdos. I would just come and take your attention, take your non-advice, take knowing that I exist, because sometimes you'd look me in my eyes, because some of you are recovered enough to be present, but then that would scare the shit out of me and I'd run. Until Arlington. Los Angeles, California, the oldest meeting out here is called the Arlington Al-Anon Family Group. Used to meet long time ago on Arlington and then met at St. James. I bet a bunch of you know, if you're in Los Angeles, it's billed as a newcomers, old timers meeting. And the woman whose sponsor actually registered it very early on when we were first called to Al-Anon, clearinghouse days, she's still with us. In fact, I think she was the speaker this year at South Bay, maybe, Jean K. Yeah, I think so. 90 years old, her kids met in Al-Anon. And that meeting cracked me. Wide open, because it's got a format that kids nowadays would call crosstalk, but back in my day, I'm so old. Although I did part my hair today and have like several gray hairs that I'm very proud of because it makes me feel like maybe I'm getting mature. We'll see. At that meeting, after the lead and a couple of shares, they turn to problem solution format. Never found another one, and I've looked. People raise their hand and share something they are going through. And then members share, when they've been in similar situations, the tools of our program they applied to find recovery. And I shared. And you guys looked at me and said my name. And it freaked me out. You didn't look at me with pity. You didn't look at me with annoyance. You looked at me like you were looking in the mirror. And I kind of felt that too. I kind of sensed that, yeah, you were nuts, but I kind of liked you. And you were a lot more present than I was. And you were not chameleons whose skin changed based on who you were around and the pieces you were picking up off the floor from other people. I liked that, but I didn't think I could be it. So I tried real hard to hold it together. But it was like the Grinch that stole Christmas. My heart just kept getting bigger, my soul or something, and my armor began cracking. And like a crab, I scuttled back into a cave. And y'all protected me. And you loved me, and it was weird and uncomfortable. But it was an alcoholic who kept me here. There's a woman named Barbara who was a long timer at the Arlington Group. And her husband, Brock, in AA. I went there for a couples meeting. Every 6 weeks, they have a couple from Alcoholics Anonymous and Al-Anon. So you can kind of hear that it's a family disease. And it's the best example of family recovery I've seen since I was a kid. When there were three A's that built the triangle, the Alateen, Al-Anon, and AA. And I don't remember ever going to a meeting in Ohio, at least in the 80s and 90s, that didn't have all three. Any Alateen meeting I went to, there was, if the dad was in recovery, he was at AA or Al-Anon, and the wife was at the other one or the kid. These people were crazy. This AA that I heard and this Al-Anon were bat crazy. It was weird. And I'm looking around the room like I'm behind that one-way mirror again, panicked that I'm the only one who realizes these people are nuts and should not be leading this meeting. I mean, they were talking about, like, in the back of a car wrestling with, you remember, wrestling with a gun and like going to 9 meetings a day and like meth. Oh my gosh, it was, I had not been used to leads that intense. I mean, everything. And it's like it's like a 30-minute chair or something, and it's two people. And I'm looking around the room for one of you to make eye contact and tell me that I am not insane, that this is weird, because I don't have a magnetic north, and I'm looking at my compass and I can't find my mooring. And at break, this big man came up to me, this alcoholic, and stopped me. And he goes, "That was weird." And his wife hits him in his stomach and goes, like he was talking bad about people. But I swear, I think that's the moment I experienced God. I have alcoholism type 2. And when Al-Anons pretend they've got their act together, it freaks me out. Because you don't. And I didn't. But some of you had fun. And that's what I started to see. That you guys were like Buddha meditating on Times Square or something. Like, it wasn't like you had to pray it away. It was like you got to. And you were grateful. And all I could see was all the clouds that had followed me to Los Angeles, from Cleveland, Ohio, up to Boston, to Maine, to New Hampshire. But I just wanted to get away from the cloud. and you guys stood under them with a freaking umbrella and held it over me. And I did not think I deserved it. Funny thing is, I still don't, because I really don't think I do. I don't think I deserve for both of my eyeballs to work. If you ever learned how a human eye works, it is uncanny and astronomical and weird. The fact that there's galaxies out there and there's gravity and I'm moving through space right now, but I feel like I'm standing still. It's all real weird. The fact that I'm a spiritual being in this skin sack is awkward and it's uncomfortable. And I was at a dis-ease with it. And so I made sure everybody else was at dis-ease so I wasn't alone. And it's a contagious dis-ease. And it adds up, man. And I was putting those rocks in my backpack. The more rocks, the more attention, the more pity, the more help. Insatiable. And when I did find something that wanted me back, I would hurt it. Because I didn't want to be in a club that would have me as a member. Except this one now. It's weird. Genius and generosity. It sucks the blood. I was once told that I'm an experienced vampire. I suck the marrow from the bones of life. And I didn't know if it was a criticism or a compliment. Frankly, I still don't. I'm extra. I'm aware. I've worked the steps, but God does not make mistakes. And frankly, I'm not quite sure any of us do. Sit with that for a second. Told you I'm an alcoholism. I have alcoholism type 2. You know how we got our traditions and concepts? They worked their crap out first and then we took them because they can have a lot of crap. They work it out faster than us, though. I used to say that it took from me. I took from it. I needed it. I don't think God made a mistake making my mom an alcoholic. I'm so glad I wasn't raised by an untreated Al-Anon. We seem okay. My kids couldn't point at me and call me an alcoholic or a drug addict. I could. I needed it. I needed the excuse. I needed the rationalization. We have a saying, Jade. Justify, argue, defend, and explain. I call it Darth Jader. Because that freaking rationalization will get me. And if it's not in black and white in this book, I chuck it in the bucket. Five? Perfect. So I read this book, all the books. And I think about program in everything today. I study the history of this program because I don't even enjoy a basketball game if I don't know anything about the people who are playing. I don't care where the ball is. And I want and need this program today. But I might not always feel like that. So I'm doubling down now. It's like investing in a kid to go to college or something. But I'm investing in me. And I do that by making up for lost time. I didn't realize God wraps the best presents in personally designed horrible wrapping paper. And that I'm not ready to open them till I'm ready to put my hands in it. So I'm putting my hands in it. my big defect when I was a kid that I had come to this great awareness. My check engine lights are hurry and indecision, which I thought I was brilliant at finding out. It's also on the back of the Just for Today bookmark, two of my greatest pests, hurry and indecision. I am not unique. I am not new. I'm a fractal of all the other fractals, just like you guys. And the God of my experience is damn real. And I might be his favorite kid. But he loves me so much that I didn't need your attention or approval tonight. And frankly, if I get any of it or criticism, it bounces off of me and sticks to Waldo. And trust me, my higher power can make a point. I've said before, God puts a period and I make it into a question mark. Why? And God will, because it loves me that much, take the end of that question mark and shake it out into an exclamation mark. He's like the Acme Company God. I mean, he's a cartoon too. But it puts faith in my lap to do, not to have or expect or give or get or judge. To do, to say thank you instead of F you. And let God figure out why I'm saying it and let me know. And if there's criticism I need tonight, or if there's praise, I'll get it. It doesn't have to be from a person. God loves me so much that I have tried to go off his heartbeat, like stomp my feet off the rhythm. I dare you guys. You can't. And if somebody could, it would probably be me. I could wear a wooden spoon around my neck. My big defect was I was an instigator. I was a fire starter. I'd throw a match, let it burn, and walk away. And I thought that it was bad. Making up for lost time in service, one of the things I do to make sure I have a good birthday or a good Thanksgiving or a good Christmas is I'm in service on those days. I choose to rent one of the two WSO movies that we used to watch on Betamax at every freaking meeting for 2 weeks straight. When the substitute teachers were at the Alateen meetings, I'm just kidding, there's not substitute teachers. I rent them and I show them. And I offer to show them to anybody in any place. And I'll make the flyer. You get the people, I'll show it. And I can show you how to do it on Zoom. And I've met people from all over the world. And I don't need their attention or their love or their approval or their condemnation. But what comes through the sieve of my higher power is absolutely dependable, pervasive. And sure, it's so much stronger than the mortar of lies in between the bricks that I was trying to make. And as I've right-sized my wits' ends, I realize there's no trials and tribulations. It was training. God was putting me in a place of privilege and honor. I get to stand by the door. And if you don't know that reference, I strongly encourage you to look up the poem. I will spare you the extra 6 minutes. But I do read it 3 times a day out loud to somebody. It is my mission statement. And it was written by Sam Shoemaker, who was one of the spiritual directors of Bill Wilson, who was one of the co-founders of AA. And married to Lois Wilson, married at a Swedenborgianism wedding. Somebody's going to look up Swedenborg and he says, master this time, it feels so powerful, but I won't know. But you want to know what? God makes it obvious. I get things when I try to get away from you guys. I get things like this in the mail. From Bulgaria? I don't think I know anybody in Bulgaria. It's Waldo. I get a meme or a photograph of you guys finding a sticker somewhere all the time. And I also get to talk to other people about God in kind of a tongue-in-cheek way, because Waldo transformed me from an adult child of an alcoholic to a childlike adult of God. And I am a grateful and humbly proud member of this program. You can be too. Thank you, guys.